The addiction cycle. We looked at it briefly in the first video, and now in this fourth video, we want to look at it even in more detail. How do we understand the addiction cycle from the perspective of Scripture and also of the human experience? Addiction is a cycle. It's not a one-time event. And I felt it necessary to look at this in more detail. Your readings will guide you through more of the detail that I'm expecting you to get into and understand, grasp, and also the quiz will address it as well in passing this modular. So let's first look at the addiction cycle as it relates to the whole aspect of the madman. The madman. Addiction is often related to insanity. We often joke about the insanity button. You keep hitting the insanity button to get things done, to do, you know, to try something different, hit the insanity button so that we can get this, you know, to doing the same thing to get a different result. That's insanity. And Nietzsche, who is the author of the saying, God is dead, of course, had a belief in God prior. He was a part of a family of faith. And then something happened along the way where he turned his back on God. His doubts overtook him. We can only imagine the fear that he was feeling. And of course, brilliant as he was, he asked these questions in his writing and then coined the term or the saying, God is dead or must be dead because of what I see around me. Of course, during Nietzsche's day, it was not pleasant. A lot of upheaval, a lot of change in the 1800s. And historically, you have technology advancing and you have society changing and what about the poor and all these questions. And Nietzsche wrote this poem. Have you ever heard of the madman? As we have it here on the screen. On a bright morning, lighted a lantern and ran to the marketplace, calling out unceasingly, I seek God! I seek God! As there were many people standing about who did not believe in God, he caused a great deal of amusement. Why? Is he lost? Said one. Has he strayed away like a child? Said another. Or does he keep himself hidden? Is he afraid of us? Has he taken a sea voyage? Perhaps. Has he emigrated? The people cried out laughingly, all in a hubbub. The insane man jumped into their midst and transfixed them with his glances. Where is God gone? He called out. I mean to tell you, we have killed him. You and I, we are all his murderers. But now how have we done it? How were we able to drink up the sea? Who gave us the sponge to wipe away the whole horizon? What did we do when we loosened this earth from its sun? Whither does it now move? Where does it move? Whither do we move? Away from all suns. Do we not dash on unceasingly? Backwards, sideways, forwards, in all directions? Is there still an above and below? Do we not stray as though infinite nothingness? Does not empty space breathe upon us? Has it not become colder? Does not night come on continually darker and darker? Shall we not have to light lanterns in the morning? Do we not hear the noise of the grave diggers who are burying God? Do we not smell the divine putrefaction? For even gods putrefy. God is dead! God remains dead. And we have killed him. How shall we console ourselves? The most murderous of all murderers, the holiest and the mightiest that the world has so far possessed, has bled to death under our knife. Who will wipe the blood from us? With what water could we cleanse ourselves? What lustrums, what sacred games shall we have to devise? Is not the magnitude of this deed too great for us? Shall we not ourselves have to become gods merely to seem worthy of it? There never was a greater event, and on account of it, all who are born after us belong to a higher history than any history so far. Here the madman was silent and looked again at his hearers. They also were silent and looked at him in surprise. At last he threw his lantern to the ground so that it broke in pieces and was extinguished. "I come too early," he said. "I'm not yet at the right time. The prodigious event is still on its way and is traveling. It has not yet reached men's ears. Lightning and thunder need time. The light of the stars needs time. Deeds need time, even after they are done, to be seen and heard. This deed, is as yet further from them than the furthest star, and yet they have done it. Is further stated that the madman made his way into different churches on the same day, and there intoned his requiem aeternam deo. When led out and called to account, he always gave the reply, "What are these churches now, if they are not the tombs and monuments of God?" There never was a greater event, and on account of it, all who are born after us belong to a higher history than any history hitherto. Here the madman was silent and looked again at his hearers. They also were silent and looked at him in surprise. At last he threw the lantern to the ground, and so it broke into pieces. It was extinguished. "Come! I come too early. I am not yet at the right time. This prodigious event is still on its way and is traveling. It has not yet reached men's ears. Lightning and thunder need time. The light of the stars needs time. Deeds need time, even after they are done, to be seen and heard. This deed is as yet further from them than the furthest star. And yet they have done it. They have done it! It is further stated that the madman made his way into different churches on the same day, and there intoned his requiem aeternam deo. When led out and called to account, he always gave the reply, "What are these churches now, if they are not the tombs and monuments of God?" My friends, Nietzsche raises the question, where is God? He also raises the question, is he not dead? You see, in the addiction cycle, we, caught up in our addictive behaviors, have become our own God. Not too different than what the Israelites were into. The addiction cycle assumes that we are our own God. Let us review again the addiction cycle. Addiction is continued involvement with a substance or an activity despite ongoing negative consequences. And the four criteria: physiological addiction, withdrawal, relapse, and tolerance. If God is dead and we have to become our own God because our insanity says we have to fix whatever's going on around us, or we can't fix it and we're out of control, and therefore we need to medicate the pain, the cycle brings us into this whole path and journey where we become so connected, so dependent on behaviors, people, places, and things that we do not see that God does exist, that He is real, God is alive, but we have denied Him. The signs again. The habit is a repeated behavior in which the repetition may be unconscious. We are creatures, we are people of habit. Compulsion is present if considerable discomfort is experienced if the behavior is not performed. We have pain, we go to the comfort food. We go to the drug. We go to the alcohol. We go to the behavior that seems to help us cope. So we can feel like we're in control, but we're not. Again, obsession, loss of control, negative consequences, denial. Oh, I got it all under control, when really it's all chaos. And there are negative consequences we tend to deny are even going on. People we hurt, things that fall apart. But we tell ourselves, it's okay. And we do what's right in our own eyes. The process, nurturing through avoidance, the and also the physiology of addiction, we look at the neurotransmitters, the tolerance, withdrawal, the brain, in other words, gets to like and tolerate and also want and need the behavior. Here's the cycle again. We have the pain. There's a need for relief. We crave it. There's a preoccupation with substance or behavior. The substance use or compulsive behavior. The short-term pain, the relief. Oh, I don't feel like I have this pain anymore because I'm attached to whatever drug of my choice it may be. Negative consequences resulting from the behavior. People tend to shut you out now because you've hurt them so bad. You've burned, as we say, the bridge. Depression, guilt, shame. Maybe this morning you fell into a behavior again that you thought, I don't want to do it, but I need to do it. I feel this discomfort, hence pain. But I know if I just take the drink or if I take the hit, if this was to be the cigarette or the marijuana or the pipe or the crack, I need this. Or maybe it's just that I need to look at that pornography again. Or I need to look at that, I'll feel better. It'll be as if that pain was never there. And then after the act, after the engagement with the behavior, that anger comes up, that guilt comes up, that beating yourself up, and then there's more pain, lower self-esteem, and again, that beating of ourselves up turns into that I can't look at myself in the mirror anymore. And the pain continues around and around and around. And you see, Israel went through the same thing. If we go back to Scripture, we then look at how God dealt with Israel's cycle. In Judges chapter 2, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. and the elders who outlived him and who had been all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnah-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, in other words, died, another generation grew up to know neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Yes, they had the Ten Commandments, but, well, they just did not remember. They did not have, for some reason, the traditions in place to carry on what Joshua declared, choose whom you this day you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No. Verse 11 of Judges 2. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals, or Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Asherahs, other gods, that said, sacrifice your firstborns, have sex all out in the open with prostitutes to please the Baals. And so what we're looking at here is, because, and then, of course, the negative consequences. Interesting. Coming back to the addiction cycle. Oh, Lord, who is this God that our ancestors followed? Oh, we don't know. There's the Baal. Oh, the Asherahs, of course. That's who we follow. Because we have this pain. We don't know about the harvest to come. We need our gods to tell us it's going to be okay. And how do we worship them? Oh, yes. And then they get attached to the idol. Much like the drug. And then God, of course, who is alive and well, in his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. And whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them. Negative consequences. To defeat them. Just as he had sworn to them, they were in great distress. Great pain. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. God still loved his people. God still loves you and me. Of course, in the middle of our addictive cycle, sort of all of us, we all have something. We don't believe that God does love us. How could he? Depression, guilt. Remember that one part of the cycle? In verse 17, they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. They quickly turned from the ways of their ancestors who had been obedient to the Lord's commands. And whenever the Lord raised up the judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed and afflicted them. God disciplined them. There was pain, but God saved them. Because God is the one who saves you and me. We know this by faith, theologically, biblically. But with our human behavior, with the habits that may turn into compulsions because we feel that Baal, that Asherah, that whatever attachment may be, that act that we need in order to make us feel better, is actually God and not God himself. And Israel was going through the same thing in this vivid narrative in the book of Judges. And eventually we read that the Israelites who forsook the Lord did what was right in their own eyes. Sounds familiar. Further, Paul addresses this in Romans 7. In Romans 7, he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. Eventually, the Israelites, his ancestors, came to understand what they were doing was wrong, because God said, look, I'm disciplining you, thou shalt not, and this is how I want you to live. And the judge at that time loved them. Here, it's the Holy Spirit that guides and directs us and convicts us. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting, for apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but then the commandment came, sin sprang up to life, and I died. I found that that very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So that the law is holy. The commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. And he goes on to say, verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual in my human nature. I have this addiction cycle that I keep going around and around, and I need to surrender to God. In verse 15, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. In other words, to honor God, to love God, to serve God. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good. It tells me what I'm doing is wrong. And what right I need to do, what is righteous to do. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Verse 18 of Romans 7. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. The good that I want to do, I don't do. And the bad that I don't want to do, I do. The things I hate, I do. And we have still this battle within us. That's why we need to look at the addiction cycle more closely here in video number 4. Because sin brings us back down that awful path, that awful repeat. Because we think we've got it all together, and we don't. Especially church leaders. Church leaders who, yeah, I study my Bible. I got it all figured out, so we think. Yes, I know God. I pray every morning. Truth of the matter is, we need to pray every morning. We need to turn things over to God. As I've mentioned before, I do recovery ministry full time. And the first thing I did 20 years ago that I began to see I needed to do was to get myself an accountability partner, or rather a sponsor, as we say, in recovery. As I sought him out, it's always the same gender of a person who's going to be that recovery sponsor. And the sponsor walks you through the steps of recovery, step 1 through step 12. And step 1 has to do with Romans chapter 7. Step 1 says, I admit I am powerless over my compulsive behaviors and my addictions, and that my life is unmanageable. Who? Me? A Christian? Much less a church leader? Yeah. Me. A church leader. Who needs to repent every morning. And one of the things we also say in recovery is perhaps you need to leave your keys for your car, let's say, or your house, or for whatever that you need for the day, underneath your bed, so that you roll out of your bed and you fall on your knees to get your keys. Knees to the keys. You see, if we get on our knees to surrender, we discover that the key is God Himself, who is in fact alive. Nietzsche did not go back to the one true God from the Bible, who does rescue us, as we read in Judges 2, and all throughout that book of Judges. God was there for His people. His promise He always kept, even though we, as human beings, do not. There's a gentleman who's in his 50s. His name is David. And David, I've known his parents all my life. I have not always known him until the past 10 or more years. David, well, his parents never talked about him because he had been in and out of prison many times, or the local county jail many times. Presently, to date, here in 2019, he's back in prison again. He has a mental illness. He has, we think, some developmental problem emotionally. And every time he would get out of jail, for example, he would find himself in trouble. Why is that? Back to the addiction cycle. What the addiction cycle tends to do, if we apply this to observing and understanding human behavior, the sin behavior, as we do some self-examination of our own sin behavior. Because frankly, we do sinful behavior, we just don't get caught half the time. And unless maybe, again, if you have access to these videos in prison and you're taking CLI in prison, you are where you need to be, because that's where you are then, as we say in recovery, prison is not always bad. It's definitely a rescue, and yet not the best place to be, of course. We look forward for you to come out, to rebuild. But when it came to David's situation, he would always get himself in trouble because he would go in this same cycle. David, he would get out. Next bubble, if you will. Oh, I'm okay. I think I'll just do what I need, I think is right. David would then steal from the local restaurant or something like that. Next part, David would find himself arrested, in trouble, in court again, and then back into jail or prison, and after doing time, back out. What we've come to understand, as it applies to incarceration in that example, is that David probably, and this is where his parents, myself, and others who have been trying to help him have come to realize that incarceration is what he knows and what he's addicted to. Three hots and a cot, we say, or three meals a day and a bed. And he's not, for whatever reason, in a place, he hasn't broke out of that insanity button where, or the addiction cycle with this addiction to going being in, on the inside an institution. And with addiction, is either jails, institutions, or death. That someone who is in the acute stage, where there's just they've tried recovery, they've tried everything, and they just find themselves back in that place. But we pray that they will then find, you know, come back to God. They will have recovery. They will be able to rebuild. But the addiction cycle is so powerful. Like with David's situation, being in prison perhaps is the place he needs to be. Our hope is not all of his life, but maybe that's where he will be the rest of his life. Now in his mid-50s. There's some cases where you just don't know. The addiction cycle is baffling. Because we repent and we believe, and then we get into the spiritual disciplines, Bible reading, Bible intake, prayer, fasting, giving to the Lord, etc. That's where the transformed person becomes more like Christ. We know this. But we're constantly in this state of sanctification. Recovery takes action. And so, as you study, as you read more here in connection with this video, having to do with the addiction cycle and also the addictive process, my hope is, my goal for this video and this topic is for you to understand it and be able to see it people like David, as well as yourself. 20 years ago, as I got my sponsor and as I looked at myself again, I could see my codependent issues. Alcohol was not my issue. Crack was not my issue. Food, overeating was not my issue. My issue was people pleasing, trying to fix other people, and worrying what other people thought, and taking things way too personally at times. With the help of recovery, I've been able to work on those issues. And with God's help, through the process of sanctification, now you can see how sanctification is recovery, and recovery is sanctification, becoming more like Christ. Theologically, biblically, and in life experience. Carry on, and look forward to talking more about this, and of course, going deeper as we look at the after effects of addiction when it comes to the family and also the individual.